on September the 25th, 1994.
Well, I think the best thing to do as we move into this particular tape, since obviously any time you interrupt, it stops that train of thought. And I believe that some things maybe didn't get on the other tape that possibly we'll wish had. Your breaks give me an opportunity to monitor a little bit about your questions and your discussions. And I want to assure John here that his property has, at this point, still been protected. And it would appear that Mr. Abbott at least now understands the corporate workings enough to realize that it is not going to happen that all of John's assets or anything that John has tied up in possibly a corporation or whatever, because John has no personal funds into the Institute, but it does come to light that John did participate in a corporation that would, and the conservator, which will soon be his ex-wife, Eleanor, had Mr. Abbott trying to collect all of the assets from the Eleanor Family Trust and all of John's assets. And just a week prior to the accident, we'll leave it at accident, they had transferred the house, which was literally John's because of his own prior investments and funds. Eleanor's did not go into the house. But prior to the accident, by approximately a week, 2 weeks at the most, she and her son were able to put that also into the family trust for Eleanor. So they took John's home also. Now, John will say that signature on that paper is not his. Well, as of the last few days, you know, I would not be surprised if it is not his. On the other hand, I want to assure you that Doris Ecker did not do it.
I believe you.
Now, at this point, John's assets are being protected because he is in a holding pattern because he did file other legal papers. But I'm a little sorry that Gene is not here, and I don't want to take the time to go through all of the situation with John's status as far as conservatorship, but that judge went right ahead and gave temporary conservatorship over to Rod McBroom, Eleanor's son, after all the things that have happened. And they are still claiming all of his monthly payments, his Social Security. They're taking it right out of the bank, right out from under his nose, and still claiming they deserve it for his upkeep. And you know that he's been here since approximately early July, 4th of July, I believe, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So there are not nice people out there in the world, especially where you have money involved. I believe that it is such an addiction they can't help it. But that's the only value anymore placed on the world. And it's sad. But at this point, John, your assets are protected.
All right. Thank you.
Maybe the best that we could do now is entertain questions. You must be curious about some of these things, and I don't know what else to cover. We're not having a court trial in here today, but maybe if you've got some inquiries, now would be the time to discuss them.
I have one.
All right, please.
I have two questions I'd like to ask. One was the Creator even surprised that Lucifer turned against him?
No, absolutely not.
And if he was created perfect, why he even thought of turning on him?
It's called free will. And he was created in perfection for the job that he would do.
So he actually meant to plan all this game to come out this way?
It isn't quite like the Bible's going to show you and tell you. You have to remember the tamperings and the adjustment of the storyline to suit the needs of the writers. Suffice it to say that Lucifer was a very high-ranking angel or son, if you will, meaning S-O-N, offspring, creation of Creator. In every scenario, you're going to have a villain, you're going to have the hero, you know, the heroine, and you are in a play. And so, without going into absolutely weeks of discussion, which I hope that once we can settle all of these things and turn this paper into what it was built to be, and that is a voice of the people, then we can turn our attention to these other things and make it so that you can better understand your own circumstances of manifestation, your journey. It isn't that I'm going to point to any one of you and say, now your purpose is, because that is not my right. Now, perhaps God knows what your purpose is, your creator as such, who might have created you, but I will tell you this, it would have been done with your input. So at some point, and one of the bigger steps and hurdles that all of you will have to step beyond is that you participated. Nobody made you do anything. And that is possibly the greatest, best kept secret of the universe, is how you got into the pickle you've gotten into, claiming you didn't understand. Well, let me tell you that it's still the best cop out. I just didn't know what I was doing wrong. In every instance, you know exactly what you're doing. And for whatever reasons you may have, you cover that. And you make excuses. And when you stop making excuses and stand responsible and base your activities and your responsibility on truth within the laws of God, you don't have to worry about lying. Now, Mr. Green has to worry about at least 10 different stories. Will you ever have an opportunity to ever line up those 10 separate stories to make him explain why each one's different? And if, in fact, he bought the gold from the Eckers. It was Eckers gold. Now get that one. But I bought it from them for $125,000, $125,000, and $250,000, and I have the canceled checks to prove it. So one's asked for the checks. Well, of course he doesn't have it. On the meanwhile, Mr. DeMar or something, calls the food stamp division, turns them in. I mean, after all, they've got $125,000, $125,000, and $250,000. Do you see how it creeps? It creeps. Is the intent there in the beginning? Possibly not. All of you who understood the circumstances at the upstart of this, for instance, already there was entanglement with ASSK, the Association of Sananda and Sanat Kumara, and Sister Thedra. And Sister was a very, very dear friend of these ones, visited in their home. And then that got all crosswise. And I can't even thank Patricia enough for her involvement during that period of time, because there were opportunities to sort that out a little bit because of her presence. Was there bad intent at the beginning? No, I think there was honest intent there in the beginning. I think there was, as a businessman would have it, who had experienced the UFO phenomenon, had literally seen one parked in a hangar over at Edwards Air Force Base, had put that together with visits to Billy Meyer in Switzerland in Hindersmitte-Rudi outside Munich. These become real. The fact that he had taken from almost everyone with whom he had had association, I'm not even going to have enter into this, because I have a feeling each thing probably started very much like this one. And when you have an association, and you theoretically should have trust with your partner. And for a long time, you see, it was no problem until the outside circumstances changed. And probably, I would guess, that Mr. Green literally could not stand it when gold started coming. That began to be the test. And then as there were expenditures that he was able to cover against that, he could always feel pretty good that that was there. You see, the difference is that he could have brought that out, and the naive people you have here would probably have said, oh, keep it, George, we understand. You see, he did not have to lie in the beginning. But once you're on that roll, and once you are making excuses and justifying to yourself the reason that you are acting without, outside, the truthfulness of God and the commandments, and I'm not talking about those 10 little silly rules. Some of them are silly, some of them are good, but for instance, sit around on your duff all day on Sunday is not one of them. You know, that's set up for your churches. And paying in your tithing, that's for the churches. Remember the little lesson on the widow's mite? Which brings up something that I would like to share with you. You go by the Bible, and Mr. Greitz will get up there and thump on his chair, and the Bible's good enough for me, and I'm the son of Isaac Jacob. How little you know, even about the story of the widow's mite. Does that mean she's got little creepy crawly critters that she'd like to give? Well, I'm sure she'd like to give them rather than keep them. And does it just mean widows? Then that means all the rest of you don't have to give anything unless you're a widow with mites. What about John the Baptist eating all those grasshoppers? Now, all of you from Utah have heard this story over and over again about the Mormon crickets. The fields were being devoured by these grasshoppers, these crickets, these locusts. And God sent the seagulls and all of that nice story. Well, why didn't the Mormons just eat the crickets? How come you guys didn't just do like John the Baptist and eat those bugs? Because John the Baptist didn't eat bugs. He did not eat crickets. He did not eat grasshoppers. He ate locusts. Now, were those the kind with long, sticky legs? You know, that when you try to eat them, the legs all stick out your mouth. Do you dip them in honey? He ate locusts in honey. Come on, that was his diet.
St. John's fruit.
He was eating locusts, which is the name for the fruit of the kerob tree. It is an almost whole product, like breadfruit. Only it is what you call the other, the alternative to chocolate.
Yes.
Beets, grasshoppers, doesn't it?
I think it would.
Now, if he liked grasshoppers, maybe he ate a few of those too. But look at the difference when you understand the translation. Anybody have any questions about this?
Would you make something better or not?
Whatever.
We just wanted to ask if you cared to comment on the book that's been banding about.
Hold on.
Becoming a galactic human.
Yeah, I would do that, Patricia.
Okay,
I'm not going to go into great detail. I have great respect for some of the energies involved. I assume it's going around. I would go back to, I know that ones get sort of, oh my goodness, that is published by Virginia Essenes. Essenes, of course, is not Virginia's name, but I'm not going to divulge that. That is her pen name. And for a long time, early on, she worked with Ann Valentin, and they produced together some extremely beautiful books. The only portion of this book that I would even pay much attention to, because I'm not into channeling and I'm not into all these other energies that come through, but there is a portion in there regarding the photon belt. But I would tell you now that it just came right out of other writings, from some from our own. But the photon belt is a very real circumstance, and I think that you would treat that book as you would anything else. Be discerning. It is a total whitewash of a lot of things, and it is one more confusion factor because you're pulling in some more names to deal with. And I would speak to this in here, but when I get, you know, several letters wanting to know who Washo is and Wapit and What's It and Dugga and Drugia, and I'm not going to comment on those ones any more than if you handed me 14 books here. If I had not read them, I would not comment. And I've had no interest in that. I feel that Virginia Essenes is a very, very competent receiver. She received for the Golden Ray. And when I say she received, it is because I simply have no more contact. She and Ann wanted to consider me a third grade adolescent. And then maybe I would grow into something. But after all, you know, the Silver Ray, only the only one on Earth, comes through Ann Valentin. Well, I want to state here that the Silver Ray is not just a silver shimmery ray. The Silver Ray represents the what we will call the Sanat Kamora Ray, or the Ray of Creator, Grandfather. The Golden Ray is the Christ Ray, the emotional Christness. So in their purest form of silver and gold, you have the Creator, which represents the manifestation. And over here, you have the Golden, which represents the emotional state of soul. So you have the physical reality and the soul expression, or vice versa. And that is where you get the differentiation. And both are from Creator. They both serve. But when an expression is put forth, it says, this one shall be the only. The only. That is BS. God would not do that. If that energy receiving for the Golden Ray, the Silver Ray, anyone can receive it. You must be discerning as to what you are receiving. But to think that in California there would be one little woman as the only receiver for this planet, for creator? No, I think not. What happens to the little jungle village in southern Africa? You have to know that God will allow that one in southern Africa every benefit of the ones in southern California. So when ones give you the lesson on I am the only one, Dharma is not the only one for me. I would never put that kind of a burden on anyone. She is the one I use for this purpose. And that does not go as high as God. This is a little mission that we have. So to think that even foolish Hatan would do that to any entity trying to struggle through this life is absurd. So as far as the book is concerned, read it carefully. You are all now knowledgeable enough to be able to discern. Something will just nag at you if it's not right. See if you can equate it to anything you know or can learn. And if it still does not feel right to you inside, it probably is not quite correct. It doesn't even mean that it is wrong. It means that you don't understand it well enough, and perhaps it is just wrong. Does it go against the laws of God? Does it some way force or manipulate you? There are many, many questions to ask. Every time you question something, ask those questions. First, is it within the laws of God? It doesn't have to sound reasonable to you, because the most miraculous, marvelous things of the universe are not reasonable to the human mind to the extent of your education and knowledge. If it is possible, though, it is within reason. You just don't yet know it, and therefore it is still a mystery. That does not equate to mysticism. Goodness, I'll go on and on with this one. I love it.
Commander, since I have the mic, can I have one more question? My wife would like to know how a sinless being can live without a soul, I mean soulless being.
Well, I tried to take that up with the last few writings that I did before these depositions. Easy. How do you live? Assuming you have soul, how do you live? You are faced with the same set of complicated bombardments, whether you are sinless or innocent. It's all in the reasoning mind, the acceptance of choices. And one's continually asked, well, what about these soulless beings? Well, and how could, are all really gross sinners, one-worlders, this sort of thing, are they basically soulless? No. And the next one is, well, what happens to these robinards, noids? Nidwits. Well, if they're downloaded from a living being, let us put it that way, they're not just synthetic beings, then they will be downloaded according to, well, let's say if Clinton is replaced, he is downloaded at whatever status he was at the time of the downloading. And if he is downloaded from one step up, then part of that, as he sinks farther and farther into the inability to distinguish truth from fiction or right from wrong, or he is so centered now that he is basically lost. Does that mean he has no soul? I can't. I'm not here to judge whether or not he has soul. But depending on the numbers of replication and the diluteness of the goodness of his soul, it may very well be almost gone. But as long as there is a spark of life and a fragment of soul, he can redeem himself. The facts are, it gets so far down and so far diluted that most beings in the physical form cannot reach this level of choosing redemption. And that has to be handled on a different plane. The next progression, the next plane. That is where these fragments are drifting or in a state of what you might want to call limbo, awaiting an opportunity, evaluating the needs of soul and the kind of progression of experience that would suit the needs of that soul. Because all soul is truly a fragment of the whole, and therefore the desire of all soul beings is to begin to become one again and finally merge with God Creator. And you have a long, long time to do it. So you might look at someone and say, oh, well, he's so far lost. Don't worry about that one. Worry about what that one might do to you, for instance, and have compassion. But that is the journey of that one. And when we talk about the innocent, the sinless, the sinner, this is why God says don't judge. Don't worry about it. They each have their journey, and God will attend it. You do your job. You handle your responsibility. You be the shining example and the responsible one for these babies coming up. And you will have done your job. And I guess I haven't answered it well, but I've answered it long. Are you saying that we don't need any more?
Okay, I got a
quickie, and since I got the mic, I'm going to take it before Wally.
Take advantage, because I said this cake may be your last supper.
Do you know the writer Rudolf Steiner, and do you have any comment about his writings?
No, I'm not familiar either with the label or the book. I'm sorry, I would have to have some insight given, and I don't know that you want to take that kind of time.
That's fine.
Wally, before you start, let me turn the tape.